Knowing what your house is worth is important information if you're thinking of selling your home. Go to realestateconcepts.net and plug in your address and a brief description of your home. The system will conduct a thorough comparative market analysis by searching the database for similar homes listed or sold in your area. With this current market data, you'll be able to determine what your home might sell for if you decide to put it on the market. There's no cost or obligation for this service from Real Estate Concepts, serving communities throughout Iowa.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tarot International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals. News and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
Nationally, home starts are down, yet apartment building is up like 16%. We sit down with Lance Hansen from RE/MAX Concepts and ask him what's going on about that and the impact millennials and technology are having on the market.
I think you're seeing the numbers that are what is now. And what is now is that there's, you know, a lot of millennials. They want to have a residence of some sort. And I think some of them, I think, aren't convinced that buying and owning a home is the best thing to do. It's hard to argue. There's a couple of factors that are in place now that weren't. One of them is that the new tax law doubled the standard deduction.
Right.
Yeah, the idea that home ownership and the tax deductibility of interest and those kinds of things that are part of that, that it limited the number of people that can take advantage of that, because the people that don't, that didn't do a lot of deductions at the beginning, when you double the standard deduction, it takes a whole mess of people and they're like, why would I itemize? I mean, you know, standard double of a standard deduction, and I'm good, thanks. And so it
disincentivizes?
Well, it doesn't disincentivize. It just does. It disincentivizes the idea of owning a home. As you know, when you look at it from purely a financial, and rarely do people look at it only as a financial process. I believe, and I'm no millennial expert, but I believe that millennials take a look at it more, and it's a little harder to justify owning a home just from a financial perspective.
Well, there's another factor, I think, that may play into this whole millennial sequence, is that they were growing up during the recession.
Yes.
And they saw lots of people lose jobs, lose homes, lose their well-being.
Yes.
During the recession. So there may be just a hint of, I'm not so sure I trust the system.
Well, I think there's some of that. There's some disenchantment out there. I think not only with millennials, I think there's, you know, groups of people. I'm aware of more seniors that are backing away from ownership and thinking, okay, you know, maybe I should rent, maybe I should go into some kind of a facility type scenario, because now, I mean, senior living now is becoming such a thing. Where you go into a senior care facility, but it's a whole bunch of people that are older who have a hell of a time.
Yeah, still very
active.
Go
different places.
Yeah.
Do, you know, we look around here, we don't have, you go down in Florida, go down in Arizona and look at the senior living facilities.
Pretty amazing.
It's, oh my gosh, they have trails and camps and, you know, exercise stuff. And I mean, it's nuts. You can do so much thing that people find out they actually do more by selling their property and living in one of those scenarios just because they have a lot of like-minded people.
Exactly, like-minded people. They have more time.
Yes.
So all of those things. But as you indicate, that's not necessarily the norm here, where individuals wait a longer period of time to enter those types of facilities.
Yes. We tend to wait in Iowa. We tend to wait until we need the care,
rather than going there
instead of the lifestyle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're with Lance Hansen, ladies and gentlemen, talking about issues of real estate nationally and here in the greater Des Moines metro. Every time we talk, every month we have a conversation, Lance, about
the lack of inventory. And now we are right smack dab in what should be the busy, one of the busiest times.
Yes. Oh, it's busy.
In real estate.
Yeah.
You got enough? What's going on?
We are still in a lack of inventory. A stat that I read the other day that was a little bit surprising to me is I was looking and it showed the homes available, and we're up a little bit from last year on homes available for sale. And it's like, oh, man, a little release of inventory. And then I looked at the breakdown a little bit more, and I found out that we have 3,300 available properties on the market right now. And I looked at that and realized that we had resale was only a little over 1,700.
Hmm.
New construction was a little over 1,500. Now,
wow.
New construction at every level, new construction, it even with the new special homes they're putting out now, you know, trying to bring it into the market, even with that, we're paying, 220, you know, for living, low 200s. That's the best we can get to in new construction at this point. Now, I'm from the east side, you know. There, you know, 220 is still a decent amount of money.
Yes, it is.
But that is then almost half of the market is new construction starting at 220, and the most of it is well above 300. We have inventory based on sales. In new construction, that inventory is about 6-7 months of inventory. In resale, on that side of the coin, we have about 1.6
months
of inventory.
Oh, my.
So that's why I'm saying it's like, oh, we got more coming on. And without new construction, I mean, bless the builders that are out there doing their thing, and the developers that are doing their thing and that kind of stuff. Because without that, we would be, we'd be such a crunch. It's crazy.
You know, Lance, this podcast goes all over the United States, all over the United States.
Yep.
We have huge numbers of downloads from almost every state in the union. And so when we talk about things here in the greater Des Moines metro, people out there have a tendency to go, what are you talking about? You know, $220,000. I wish I could find a house
right.
for $220,000.
Right.
I start at $450,000
yes.
in some of these places. What is it that people out there need to know about the housing market here in Des Moines?
Well, I think, like what you just said, one of the main things about the greater Des Moines and the whole of Iowa, actually, is that our housing costs are incredible. When you look around the nation, we do as well as anybody. And we do it. It's kind of weird because you can go to Kansas City and they're like, oh, we can get down to here. We can get down to there. But you are 30 minutes from work at least. I mean, it's way out. That's how they get because they're expanding out into the.
Sure.
I don't know what's after suburbs, you know.
The exurbs, I guess.
The exurbs, yeah. So they're expanding out into there to be able to get the ground that they can afford to build the housing. And because of it, the affordability is lower, but the drive times and commutes and all of the things involved in that are different.
Well, it comes to a work-life balance at
yes.
the same time. So if you're working within the city or within the city limits of Kansas City, and you've got to put 40 miles in before you get there.
Yes.
And then work a full day and then put the 40 miles going back.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, the reality is that to be within 45 minutes of work here in Des Moines, you can live in Knoxville.
Right.
You can live in Ames.
Which is a ways away.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking 30, 40 miles away.
Right.
You know, where you go to Minneapolis, you go to Kansas City, you can be 20 miles from work and had to have a 45-minute commute
easily. And I think that misses the point with so many people. They can't believe how easy it is mm-hmm. to get around in this metro.
Yes. I mean, we have at best what I call a rush half hour.
Right.
That's the best we can muster at this point. We have a rush half hour.
Bring it back to the metro and with RE/MAX concepts. How have things changed in the past year?
From the real estate side,
on the business side,
on
internally with
internally.
Your company.
We've done a lot of implementing of systems that enhance our agents and their productivity. We try to do some things that help their work life balance. There is in our company, there's no difference if you want to work from home. It's totally fine. You can do that. We have a number of parents that are able to mix that up and be home, still work, make really good money, and we try to enhance that as much as possible. We certainly have facilities that if somebody wants to be in an office every day, that we have the ability for them to come in and they can be either have an office of their own if they wish, or we just have space, workspace that's available. So I think we work towards the enhancement of what works for you as an agent. Mm. So we do that. And then we look for things to help make them be as good as they can be. One of the biggest things we've done is that we've taken training from virtually none all the way. Now we have a school that gets them credit hours towards keeping their license.
Internally,
yes. And we do that for our agents. We have a new staff person that is is our new trainer. His name is Josh Hansen. And I know who knew.
Gosh.
Yes, my son. but we've added so many of those things so that we're trying to make it so that our agents are stronger, they're better at what they do. And by doing that, they end up doing more with less work, with less time. I hesitate to say less work, but with less time. They're more compacted in their workload and what they can accomplish in a period of time. And our systems are all set up for that. I mean, we have a system. I literally can go on my phone, pull up every file that I have in my name on. I can write an offer on a property on my phone. It's not wonderful because, it's a little more cumbersome, but I can do it and have. You can list a house on your phone.
So the point here that is mm-hmm. the speed of which your business is doing business mm-hmm. has ramped up considerably.
Oh, it's amazing. And part of that is necessity just because of the market we're in. I mean, if you see a home, it looks good. You can't go home and think about it. You can't let me get some paperwork together and that kind of – that's not how it works anymore. If we walk into a house, you see something you like, we've been looking for a while, it fits what you're looking for, we need to immediately write an offer. Not think about it, not talk about it, write the offer right then.
How many of the offers, Lance Hansen, RE/MAX Concepts, ladies and gentlemen, how many of the offers are coming back with counter offers that are higher than the original price? Or are you seeing people say, oh, you want $250,000 for this? I'll give you $260,000.
Yes. That's more than the counter. We get that. We get where somebody, I mean, we know as agents, we know when a good one comes on. And in fact, our buyers know because they've been out there looking.
Sure.
And so we tell people, say, hey, this is one, this really works. So let's go in strong. And so if, used to be you'd go in, say, I'm going to give them full price, ask for $3,000 in closing costs, a home warranty, and a good closing date. And a nice inspection clause and some of that. Now we may go in just over full price add the closing costs on top of that, so that instead of paying $200, we're going to pay $205 because we want $5,000 in closing costs and some of those things in there.
So you're giving back to the current homeowner all of those costs that traditionally they would pay for.
Yeah, to make it a strong when we talk full price now, it's different now. Full price used to be, you know, the value that they asked for the property and then whatever we could get out of it. And now we tend to be full price and then we add on any costs that the buyers need associated with that.
How common is that?
Oh, all the time. It happens all the time. There's things out there now where we have multiple offers, and so there'll be five offers on a property, and the listing agent will call everybody and go, okay, we're going to look at final offers at 8 o'clock tonight. So bring us your highest and best. And so, you know, we talk to the buyers and okay, what can we do? How can we make ours stand out? What can we do best? There's even a clause which we brought back last year because of the market, or actually almost 2 years ago we brought it back, but it's called an acceleration clause. And it become unfamiliar with people. But what it says is that I'll give you $1,000 more than anybody else out there up to this price.
Mm. Which, wow.
I know. Welcome to my world.
Yeah. Which also begs the question then, a question of trust. If you're a listing agent.
Yes.
And you're saying, okay, this house is listed for $250,000. Everybody bring your best offer by 8 o'clock tonight. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that it's got to be this and juice to get into the house. Can you trust that?
Well, you like in the acceleration clause, there's also a part of that that says that proof has to be shown of the offer that we beat out by $1,000. Okay. So, I mean, certainly
so there's some transparency there.
Yeah, and is there a rogue agent out there? Hell yes. I mean, there is. I mean, there's somebody that's going to try to, you know, cut some corners and get around and that kind of stuff to get, you know, something out of somebody. The other side of that equation is that everything we do, by far, the majority of that has to appraise. And so there is a stopgap on there where, you know, it has to appraise. And the appraisers they've been riding this wave with us pretty good. They're starting to pull up a little bit now from what I'm hearing and seeing out there. Is there be like, okay, we're kind of not down with the 10% market increase every year now.
When you go about the business of selling a house, for you to have some idea of where to peg that price at.
Mm-hmm.
How does the typical homeowner who's maybe thinking about selling a house, how do you peg that price? Where do you go?
Well, you work together. I mean, one of the things we do is we do a market research and we prepare what's called a CMA or a comparative market analysis. And we use sold properties, which is what appraisers use. So we use sold properties to get an idea of the value of the property as it comes up. We also use pending properties and ones that have offer on them, but they haven't sold. They're not closed yet. And that gives us a little more, okay, what are people paying for those kinds of houses at this point? So we know if a house was listed at 220 and it's pending, that we're probably close, you know, somewhere in there. And then we go to property that's active on the market now because that's competition. And so we have to now research all three of those. And we look as like, where can we enter the market that is most advantageous and beneficial? Now, my thoughts are typically to enter the market competitively, not try to milk it, but enter it competitively. If the market, and we talk about the market as an entity, like a live thing, because that's how we deal with it. If the market sees a house, And that market / buyers are like, you know, there's five of us really interested in that. So they may take it above value. And I say above value because that's what I'm talking about. It's worth this much. But the drive of the market may pull it above that.
How do you get financing on that?
It has to be appraisable.
Right.
And it's been much better because appraisers understood the rise of the market because of the reduced inventory, but they're starting to push back a little bit on that now. And we're getting more where the appraiser's like, dude, I can't get there. And so we're fighting that battle. So it's a complicated mess sometimes.
Fascinating business. It really is. And all of us live in a dwelling of some kind. Doesn't matter if it's a rental or if it's a townhome, for example, or a standalone house. The inner workings of this business have always just intrigued me because it's fascinating. All of the balls that you guys have to have in the air at all times.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. It's dynamic. It's exciting for us. I just had an observation that I'm thinking we do all of that and the process of all of that, and yet we have people out there who are sticking a sign in the yard and selling it by themselves. And I know for a fact that I've seen properties out there that have sold for $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 less than what they should have. And you'll hear a company that facilitates some of that kind of stuff talk about how quickly it sold.
Of course it did.
And how much money they saved by not paying a commission. But nobody talks about how much money they lost by not having good, solid representation.
Leaving it on the table.
Yes.
All right. His name, ladies and gentlemen, is Lance Hansen. He's a regular contributor to the Business News Hour. We talked about a lot of stuff. We talked about things going on the national scene and where people are moving and what levels, from millennials to empty nesters, and the whole appraisal process and pricing process. And I think it's a fascinating business, and I'm just grateful to be able to sit down with somebody that's been in it for a while.
We need to get you licensed, get you on the street.
Yeah, right. That's what I need, another job. Thank you, Lance.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Lance Hansen from RE/MAX Concepts. If you missed any or all of that, you'll find it on our podcast page on iTunes, Podbean, TuneIn Radio, or on Stitcher. Coming up, a look at the markets on the Business News Hour. Hey!